Prayer. I appreciate the song service this morning. The selection of hymns was excellent. And I appreciate everyone that's here. By the way, congratulations. All of you here have an attendance record of 100% this year. So let's keep it up. Right? Okay. It is good to see each one of you. And as we said, I do appreciate the prayer that's been offered, and I desire an interest in your prayers that what is said today would first and foremost bring glory to our Father.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. We're here to worship. We're here to worship God. But we also need something that we can carry with us when we leave this. I like that that expression about how that we enter to worship and we depart to serve. And we serve the Lord and we serve one another. Okay? That's how we love God, by loving Him, serving one another. I want to turn this morning to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is, as you know, the middle chapter of the three chapters that cover Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 teaches principles of true righteousness. Matthew chapter 6 teaches us about principles of true worship. And then 7 is true judgment. And what I'm after this morning is part of what we know as what most folks call the Lord's Prayer. I prefer to call it the model prayer. And I have a reason for that, but we won't get into a lot of that. But anyway, the prayer that Jesus, when Jesus' disciples asked, teach us to pray. All right. Now, remember, he had, in this Sermon on the Mount, he had been teaching about true righteousness. And this is part of true worship. So evidently, there's a right way to approach God in prayer. Right?
Yes.
I mean, listen, he's not a bellhop. He's not a spare tire. He's God.
Amen.
And he's worthy of our worship and our adoration every day. Part of this prayer, I probably won't get to it today, but part of this prayer says, "Give us this day our daily bread." If you read Luke's account of it, he says, "Give us day by day our daily bread." What does that tell you? This is not a one and done. This is something for every day. Our soul needs to be fed every day. Okay? So I hope you found Matthew chapter 6 by now. Now, in this chapter, as he's speaking about true worship, there's some words of warning before we get down to this prayer. And he's telling us some things not to do. And if you understand the Bible, this portion of the Bible, you understand that there were some people in that day, some very religious folk, that the Lord had a lot of criticism for. Now, if the Lord criticizes something, you have to realize there's a problem. Because he knows exactly what the situation is. He's not bound by an outward appearance. He's not bound by words. He's not bound by whatever he could observe about a situation. He looks upon the heart. He knows exactly what the situation is. And so these Pharisees, who everything to them was an outward show, okay? And if you really want to get an idea of what the Pharisees were like, you turn over to Matthew 23 later, not now, later, and you can see how that the Lord said at least 7 times, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." He labeled them about their actions. All right. So, this leading into this, we have several verses of Scripture that tells us what not to do. This kind of praying is not for outward show. This kind of praying is not to impress anyone. This kind of praying is not to make somebody else think about how holy you are. This kind of praying is to enter into your closet, and when you are right by yourself, you call upon God and you ask Him for the things that you stand in need of. That's real praying. Now, do you remember my favorite quote from George Washington? You ought to. I've said it many times. He said there's times when we have to repent of our praying. How's your prayer life? How sanctified is it? You know, a lot of folks, and if this is all the time you've got, you know, that's between you and the Lord. But there's a lot of folks that when they're rushing out for their day, they say a few words of prayer, and that's it. All right? I'm just saying, praying is something that we really need to take seriously. I think the host of people who aren't taking it seriously, I believe it's showing in our culture. Because there's an awful lot of God's people. Awful lot of God's people in this country especially. I can only speak about this country, and I have traveled around most parts of this country. So I can tell you, I've found good people everywhere I've ever traveled. North, Northwest, South, California. Yeah, California. I found good people in California. Now, I don't want to be mean about that, but I'm just saying, okay? God has a host of people in this country. But we need a host of people standing up for righteousness. I mean, things are happening in our country, and we've been hijacked on a lot of levels. And I understand that we're never going to have a wholesale conversion to Christianity, and everybody's going to follow this word. Okay? But I sure am praying still that God's people will, that God's people will take this seriously, that God's people will look to Him and pray seriously for the things that needs to be. You know, we're blessed in a lot of ways, all right? So let's just get into this. In Matthew chapter 6, the record of the prayer begins in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Notice he said, after this manner. It's not necessary that you quote it exactly as it's written. It's the thought. It's the feeling that's more important than the exact words. Now, if you need to say those words to get the point across, go for it. All right? But I'm just saying, he said, after this manner. In other words, he's given us a model to use in our praying, and I'm convinced you're not going to improve on this model. You may say a lot of other things to go along with it, but you're not going to improve on this model. All right? So he says, after this manner, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You are probably quoting along with me. It's very familiar scripture. And before I get into the beginning of it, it just seems that in recent months, maybe the last couple of years, that expression, deliver us from evil, has really taken on new meaning to me. Deliver us from evil. There's so many things going on in this world that we don't know anything about. Oh, there's some things that we think we know about, but there's a whole lot of things going on we don't know anything about. But God does. God knows it all. And he can deal with it. We don't even know, much less can we do anything about it. But he can deal with it in the way that's right and pleasing in his sight. So this model that he's given us should instill a tremendous amount of confidence in us as we call upon our Father. Do you delight in knowing that he's your Father? Now, there's been some mighty good fathers. There's still some mighty good fathers in this world. But they're just mortal. But when we're blessed to be able to call upon God as our Father, and you do it sincerely, then that's an evidence that God's Spirit is abiding in you. Right? Okay, our Father. It's very personal, and it's a reflection of spiritual life. All right, so Romans chapter 8, just very briefly. Romans chapter 8, every time we call upon God as our Father, it proves or it shows forth the truth of this passage. Romans chapter 8, I just want a couple of verses here. Beginning in verse 14. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they can be sons of God. That's not what it says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are. They already are. The leadership of the Spirit comes after the possession of the Spirit, right? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. In other words, there's only one begotten of the Father. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of his family have been adopted into the family. And when he sends his Spirit into our heart, then we have that Spirit of adoption that makes us know that we are one of his. Okay? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, our Father. Or some say, Father, Father. But if you can claim that relationship because of the desire within your soul, if you can claim that relationship, that is an evidence in itself that you are a child of God. You may have a lot to learn, but you know that he's your Father. All right? So he says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So when we cry, Abba, Father, sometimes we're simply expressing our daily desires. Sometimes it's urgent. You know, when we have an accident, and most recently I'll just use Tyler as an example. When that situation happened with Tyler, I tell you what, it doesn't take you long to lift up a prayer, does it? When the need is urgent, you don't have to find Matthew chapter 6. You don't have to go and see, now let's see now, what is it that I need to be doing when I pray? No, you call upon God. Because he's the one that knows, he's the one who can help you in an instant. Amen. Bless your hearts. That's how we need to live this. And by the way, I didn't even tell you the point of view I want to approach this. we pray on a regular basis. We're very familiar with this model prayer. But have you ever thought about living it? Living it every day. Not just saying some words early in the day and then putting it on the shelf and go about your day. No, let's take it with you and live it. And so every time you call upon God as your Father, you remember, oh, that's the way the Lord taught me to pray. I'm being led by His Spirit. I must be His child. I must be the object of His affection. I must be one that He's very interested in. And that's an understatement, isn't it? He's tremendously interested in the welfare of His children, and He is well able to supply their every need. And because we live in a fallen world, and because bad things do happen, we need Him every moment of the day. And we don't need to be in a position where we think we've got to go find Him when we need Him. Let's stay close to Him. Let's pray to Him on a regular basis. Let's talk to Him throughout the day. Let's look to Him. Let's thank Him for all the blessings that are ours that we receive from His bountiful hand. I tell you, to walk closely with the Lord, living this model prayer. Our Father. Now, we're not just saying our God. We're saying our Father, one that loves us. How much does He love us? This much. Forever. He loves us. How did He choose to tell us how much He loves us? He sent His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what our Father has given to us. That's what our Father provides. You know, earthly fathers can do a wonderful job, but they're earthly. They're only here for a while. My daddy's been gone since 1979. That's a long time ago. All right? Long time. But you know what David said in the Psalms? When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now, he took me up a long time before my daddy was gone. He's been watching over and caring for us all through our days. But bless your hearts, when we think about what our Father in heaven, when we think about the love that He has for us, we think about the power that He has to take care of us, when we think about all that He is, and that's why we need to continue to read our Bibles, because we need a better and better and better understanding of just who He is. And all those Old Testament stories, they're not just stories, they're not just history, they tell us who God is. It's His testimony. It's His testimony of who He is, and what He's done for us in sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. So our Father. You know, you can kind of compare that to what David said about the Lord is my shepherd. You know, David was a shepherd. Yes. And I suspect he was a really good shepherd. But he wasn't as good as this shepherd. He wasn't as good as his shepherd. Because his shepherd, his Lord, was able to take care of him in whatever situation arose. And so as we think about our Father, just think about how wonderful our Father really is. Not only in this life, not only in what we hope to have after this life is over, but we also find that He's taught us in His Word that we have an inheritance. And that inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away. I don't care what your earthly possessions are, they are fading away. Whatever they are, You know, corruption is going to eventually set in. Now, you can take good care of it, but, you know, those things that you have to take care of, and you know, that'll increase the life, right? Because if you don't, they're not going to be around long. And that's getting more and more true every day. But bless your hearts, when we think about this inheritance that we have, and I love to think about when we're thinking about the inheritance that Christ has purchased for us, and that we're not just, what's the expression? I'm looking for the expression for common heirs, you know, shares, when you share an inheritance. That's one way you can enjoy an inheritance. But we're not that way. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And what that means is that everything he has is also ours. And also about this inheritance, an earthly inheritance, we find that someone has to die for us to enjoy it. Well, Jesus did that. But he's alive. And we'll get to enjoy it with him in all of glory. I tell you, this inheritance gets better and better when the more you know about it. And not only that, but it's not things. It's not, you know, I mean, heaven, I'm sure heaven's going to be a wonderful place. But that inheritance is, this body is going to be changed. This body is mortal. This body is corruptible. This body is dying. Praise God. But what we'll have in the resurrection is a body that will be immortal and incorruptible. We'll be fashioned like unto the glorious body of Jesus. We'll be taken home to be with him forever. And bless your heart, there's no corruption. There's no mortality there. It'll be enjoyed forever. So we think about what we have from our Father. What we have in him now. What we have to look forward to, and what will never change. Amen. Our Father. I hope that'll warm your heart every time you call upon your Father. Because how wonderful our God is. So the prayer begins, Our Father, which art in heaven. He's not in Washington. He's not on a throne somewhere on this earth. No, he's in heaven. Not only is he in heaven, but the Psalms tell us that his glory is above the heavens. Oh, the glory of our God, our Father, which art in heaven. Aren't you glad that he is God over all things? Oh, there's so much interest in our world today about possibility of life on other planets. And you know, to the natural mind, it is a natural thing to think with so many solar systems and all that, that surely there must be something else. Well, if there is, God didn't choose to tell us about it. What we find in the Word of God is God creating a people, loving a people falling into sin, unable to reconcile themselves, but he loved them enough that from before the foundation of the world, he knew what they would do, and he was going to send his son to save us. And not only is he going to send his son, but his son is going to be God with us. And so God, in that sense, became one of us to save us from our sins. Our Father, I tell you, he's able. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so whatever our need might be, bless your hearts, he can provide. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. That's a word that's only ascribed to God. Hallowed be thy name. And it's only right here in the New Testament. Hallowed. This word acknowledges God as being above this world. But it also carries with it the responsibility that we have and the worthiness in himself, that he should receive the highest praise, the highest admiration, the highest adoration, the deepest devotion. I mean, he is worthy to be first. We get that, don't we? He's worthy of that. But when it comes to us living it, we come short, don't we? Quite often, we come short of giving him the highest praise. Sometimes we come short of giving him the deepest devotion. That's one thing, maybe for 2023, if you want to work on something, I'm sure you've got plenty of plans for yourself, but I'm just going to, if you want to work on something, let's work on getting this right. Putting God first, giving him the deepest devotion. You might say, well, preacher, what about my family? I love my family. Sure you do. But if you love God first, you can love your family better. That's just the way it works. Well, I don't understand that, preacher. Well, let's just trust me. Try it. Prove it. Prove me wrong. When you love God the most, you know, it's kind of like, love is that way. You might say, well, you know, we're so accustomed to whatever resources we have to manage them or we'll be without. But that's one of the wonderful things about this kingdom and God and the way he set up his economy. The more love you give away, the more you have. Isn't that amazing? The more love you give away, the more love you have. And if you don't feel like you have much love, maybe you need to think about how much you've been giving away. Because that's the way it works. The more love we show, the more love we give away, the more love we'll feel for ourselves. And so if we can practice loving God more, you'll have some wonderful blessings come from that. All right? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The name of God. You know, when we think about all that he is, and the thrust of my desire this morning was to, when we call upon God, to think about who he is, who we're calling upon. How great he is, how wonderful he is, how glorious he is, how merciful he is, how kind and loving he is. See, all of that, I guess you could sum it up in his grace. Unmerited favor bestowed upon undeserving individuals. But that's what God is all about. Grace. Giving us his Son, giving us his Spirit before we had any interest in the Spirit of God or the things of God. He's the one that starts the process. You know, greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. And also, it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If we have a desire to do his will and to do his good pleasure, then it's because God has put his Spirit within us and has given us that desire. If we have a desire to call upon our Father, bless your hearts, it's because we have the Spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And so all of these things that we see, all that God has given us, bless your hearts, as we think about when we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now I got a little bit of time left. I want to deal with the next major thought in this prayer. He says, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. You know, he came to set up his kingdom. And he did. He did that. As a matter of fact, when he came preaching, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? that message, to a great extent, was calling the Jewish people back to God. Okay? Because he was first sent to the Jews, to the house of Israel. And that message primarily was calling them back to God. It had been a long time since God had sent a prophet. The book of Malachi, when that was written, that he was the last Old Testament prophet. And it was 400 years after Malachi before John the Baptist and Jesus were born. 400 years. You know, Moses was only up on the mount for 40 days, and you see what happened with the children of Israel in 40 days. They made a golden calf, they were dancing around it, and said, "These be the gods that have delivered us out of Egypt." Okay? But how about 400 years? With God being absent for 400 years, just imagine the condition of God's people in that length of time. And so when they came, when John the Baptist came and when Jesus, they both came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Okay? Well, the kingdom's been here ever since. So why do we need to pray, "Thy kingdom come," since it's been here all that time? Well, this expression is telling us that we desire a greater manifestation of the kingdom of God. All right? We can't improve upon what Jesus did, but we can have a greater manifestation of it. We can have a greater adherence to his word. We can have a greater prayer life. We can have we can improve in the way that we take this word that he's left us and press into this kingdom and serve him every day. Okay? So when he says, "Thy kingdom come," what we're asking for here is a greater manifestation of the kingdom of God. Now, how can that happen? Well, prayer is a good start. But let me just give you some idea here. I believe I'm standing before a people who knows the Lord, who knows something about his word, who knows something about the glory of what Jesus has done for us in saving us from our sins. How much do the people with whom we have our dealings, how much do they feel the kingdom of God from your life? Well, preacher, I have to be careful on the job. I understand we have to be mindful and do the job that we're being paid to do. But we can do it with a Christian attitude. We can do it adhering to Christian principles. We can, if we see something that's not right, we can try to do what we can to have a good influence upon that situation. You see, we're to press into the kingdom. The devil has the kingdom of this world, and it's always trying to inject and to impress upon us its principles. And I tell you, there's a lot of glitter in this world, isn't there? There's a lot of things to attract us. There's a lot of things to claim our attention. There's a lot of things to you know, it's not hard to be busy nowadays. But when it comes to God and devotion to him and thinking about this kingdom that he's set up here, each one of us who has the Spirit of God within us has the ability to show forth something in this world to reflect kingdom values and to show God's love to others. So I ask you again, how much do the people with whom you have to do, how much do they feel from the kingdom of God? All right, I hope I've made that point. Now the question is, could that improve? All right, so there is great room I saw a lot of nods. You know, some folks just sitting there, but I saw a lot of nods. So what I'm saying is there's room for great improvement for the kingdom to come as far as manifestation of its principles. All right? So this is very real. This is an opportunity for us to live it before others. And again, you don't have to run around saying, I'm a born-again Christian all the time. You don't have to be saying things like that. But you can be living Christian principles, and I guarantee you, it will show. Because there's enough influence from the world otherwise that you will be different. But you can be different in a good way because you've got a Father in heaven that's watching over you and providing for you and can do whatever you need. As a matter of fact, he's given you armor that you can quench all the, you know, that shield of faith, that you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There's armor that protects us. And by the way, all of it boils down to Christ. Since we are in Christ, we are preserved in him, but we also have these Christian principles that if we apply them to our lives, then it will help us to have more joy and happiness. You know, I started the song service by saying happy and waiting for you to say New Year, but the Bible has a whole lot to say about how to have a good year, all right, and a good next year and a good all the year through. So there's plenty for us. Plenty of room for us to improve on how much of the kingdom is manifested in our life, in our choices, in our actions, right? By the way, another way of saying that is letting your light shine. Another way of saying that is being salt, you know, like the scriptures tell us. You know, we're to have a good seasoning, preserving influence. Now, I'm telling you something. The Word of God is where we need to be seasoned, and it needs to be the preserving that we need. Okay? So let me ask you. What if everybody began to live these principles that are being taught to us? Would there be a greater manifestation of the kingdom of God? We're not talking about making something new. We're talking about doing a better job of what we're supposed to, and I'm not saying you're not doing a good job. Now, listen, I'm just teaching the principles that we have the ability to show forth more of the kingdom of God. And it will be a blessing to those around us. It'll be a glory to his name. And anything we can do for the glory of God is worth it, isn't it? Yes, I'll answer that. All right, so when we think about, he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done. All right, I like to ask questions. Get you to thinking. Is anybody going to stop God from doing what he wants to do? No. Can't do it. If God purposes to do... You know, let's see, what's that? Isaiah 46 and 9, he says, remember the former things of old, for I'm God, there's none else. I'm God, there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. He will do what he intends to do. But there's also the will of God that's consistent with this word. It's his will that we live according to this word. But do we always do that? No, we come short. Sometimes we leave off some things. You know, when's the last time you prayed for your enemies, by the way? That's an easy test. You know, that's something that's easy to leave off, isn't it? All right? My point is, it's God's will for us to live righteously. It's his will that we love God and love one another. It's his will that we be merciful to one another and kind and gracious and all those kinds of things. It's his will, but we don't always do that. But if we would pray every day, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If we would make that a habit and pray that thought, whether you use the exact words or not, whether you pray that thought and keep it in the forefront of your mind, maybe it'll help you to be more in the will of God. All right? He's going to do what he's purposed to do. And you can't stop that. And even the Pharisaical Jews recognize that. Okay? But there's a whole lot more about his will that he has told us that we could stand to improve. And the whole point of this message is to try to plant some seeds in your mind and in your heart that maybe we can show more of the kingdom of God this year. Maybe we can show more of his love to others. Maybe we can feel more of his love for ourselves. You know, I suspect we're all inclined to pray more for others than we do for ourselves. And certainly you don't want to leave off praying for others, but it's okay for us to ask the Lord for things that we truly need. Okay? Now, he knows what we need even before we ask, but it pleases him for us to come to him and ask him. Just think about children. You know, you know sometimes things that they need, but how does it make you feel when they come and ask you in the right way for some things that they truly need? You'll do everything you can to do it for them, right? Well, God loves us. Now, he's not there for our every beck and call. But what I am saying is he knows what we need even before we ask. But it does please him for us to ask him. And so, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Doing the will of God. Let me spend a minute here. Doing the will of God. I mentioned praying. I mentioned loving God, loving one another. Okay. When it comes to worship, there's a preparation of the heart that needs to happen. You know, I'm so thankful for everybody here, and I hope when you leave today you feel like that you were glad you came. Okay? But there is, for worship, and I'm talking about for God to bless with the power of his Holy Spirit, for worship to be there, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. And to come to him on his terms. You know, we humble ourselves before our God. Now, we do pray unto him and we ask, but we always have to say, according to thy will. Right? We always have to be submissive to God's will. Even Jesus, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he went to the cross, he knew what he had to do, and he said, if it be possible, let this cup, that cup of suffering, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless. And he's praying. His soul was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death, in this prayer. But he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But I'm just going to point out to you that our will quite often limits how much his will is manifested in our lives. Many times, what we want comes first. If we can just lay to heart, Lord, what would you have me to do? And seek his will. You know, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't leave out his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he'd just been talking about daily needs that we have. And he said, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Don't you know that God loves us and he's going to provide for us? And so why should we ever neglect worshiping him and coming before him and praying unto him and asking for his will to be? Don't you know that his will is better than ours? Every time. Every time. We don't even know. Romans 8 tells us we don't even know how to pray. We don't even know what we should pray for as we ought. We experience that a lot, don't we? Some of you may have seen, I shared on Facebook one time about, you know, it was a picture. It had somebody beginning a prayer and then all these scrambled up words, jumbled words. Instead of words, it was just a pile of letters. We feel like our prayers are like that sometimes, don't we? We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit does. The Spirit knows exactly what we need. And so that little picture had Father and then all these jumbled up things and then Amen. And the Lord, the caption had the Lord saying, I know my child. He does know. He knows every time. He knows all the time. And he always will know. And so the more we can call upon him and ask for his will, thy will be done. All right? I'm going to finish up real quickly. In earth. I want to make the distinction between in earth and on earth. And somebody might say, well, preacher, why do you want to quibble over one letter? Well, it's the difference. There's a difference. When God made Adam, what did he use? Gold? Silver? What did he make? What did he use? Dust of the earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, when he talks about God who has shined, God who shined out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, when we're born of the Spirit, we see him. The next verse, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. His Spirit dwells within us. In earth. And listen, and this is powerful. The more his will is done in earth, the more his will be done on earth. The more we, in our hearts, are seeking his will and doing his will and following him and seeking his glory, the more of that's going to shine forth from us. The more of that's going to touch other lives. The more of that we will represent, the more we will represent the kingdom of God better than we have in the past. So he says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know it's that way in heaven. And the more of his will that's done in us on earth, then the more of a heaven below we can enjoy. Because that's the way it is up there. May God help us. I hope this will stay on my mind to continue with this model prayer next time. So you all have to come back to hear part two. But bless your hearts. It's important. I wonder how often, you know, what is that expression? Familiarity breeds contempt. In other words, things that we're very familiar with, sometimes we don't cherish like we should. This is one of the most familiar passages of Scripture in all the Bible. May God help us to rekindle a desire to pray it and live it for the glory of God, because it'll redound to a blessing to you. May God bless you, is our prayer.